Morning. We happy that we're here? You happy you come to worship? Or it seems like we're getting a little bit back to normal. Jimmy should be back in the office on Tuesday, so praise God for that. Yeah, it seems like everybody's getting over their sickness and getting back into the groove of things. That's awesome. I was listening to this hymn this morning. It's not really related to the message, but I want to share it with you. It goes something like this. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. Amen, church. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Are you forgiven? Have you accepted the freedom that Christ gives us through His blood? His precious blood. A little bit of the next part of that verse says, though none go with me, though none go with me, I will follow. Praise God. Even if your whole family doesn't go with you, I pray that you can still go. And the next part of it says, though the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. Praise God. Praise God. This morning we're going to be in Jude. Don't ask me what chapter. Jude is a brother of Jesus. He's a half-brother of Jesus Christ. That's kind of weird. He never mentions that. It's like he doesn't even consider himself that. It's kind of interesting. We're going to talk about something pretty serious this morning. We're going to talk about false teachers. We're going to talk about false preachers. That doesn't get talked about a whole lot. You know, there's a lot of people being led astray today, away from Christ, and they think they're okay. That's a scary place to be, church. Thinking you're okay, but you don't have Jesus Christ. You don't have the one thing to get you into heaven. That's a scary thing, to be led astray from the gospel. Can I tell you that there's many Christians who are being led astray today? They have Christ, but they don't know the truth. They don't know the Word of God. They don't read the Bible. You're in a scary spot when you don't read your Bible. When you don't know what is right and what is wrong. I want to ask you this question this morning. As a church, are we looking out for false teachers? Are we on the watch? Are we looking out for false teachers and false preachers in the church? Are we running away from them? That's what the Word says for us to do. To run away from them. And the most important thing, the most important question you need to ask yourself this morning, are you reading the Word of God? You've got to be truthful to yourself. Because it is the most important thing, is to read the Word of God. Let's get in here to Jude. Jude's a kind of difficult book. A lot of things. We're going to skip over a few things that I don't feel maybe adequate enough yet to teach, and that's okay. That's a good thing. I shouldn't teach anything I don't feel adequate or understanding enough to preach to you, because I have a responsibility not to lead you astray. That's important. And you have a responsibility to not lead others astray. Verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago has secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our sovereign and Lord, our only sovereign and Lord. See, this is interesting. He says, dear friends, although I'm very eager to write to you, he wants to write to them about the salvation, about the good things, about the love of God. But he says, I am compelled to write to you and urge you to contend for the faith. What does that mean? It means to wrestle for the truth. To fight for the truth. To fight for what is right. to fight for what is right. And it says, for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Let me remind you this morning that there is only one faith. There's only one truth, and it is Jesus Christ. Don't you let anybody convince you or persuade you that there is anything else other than Jesus Christ. Don't let it happen, church. It is very important because why? It says God has entrusted it to us. That's a huge responsibility. Where much is given, much is required, church. The truth has been entrusted to God's holy people. Who is that? That's believers. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you're entrusted with the gospel. You're entrusted with the truth. God's holy truth. Have you said something maybe you shouldn't have? I probably have. Have you said things that you probably shouldn't have? See, but this is important. He says, I'm eager to write to you. Why? Because there are people who have secretly slipped in. There have been people who have secretly slipped among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality. Does that not sound familiar, church? Does that not sound familiar? Has there not been people that have said, because of the love of God, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has given me, I can just go about sinning and doing whatever I want? This is what these people are doing in this time of Jude. They're saying, because of the blood of Jesus, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Listen to me. The grace of God is not a license for sin. It's not a ticket to get to say I can do whatever I want now. Instead, we ought to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God for what He's done for us. For His sacrifice to us. See, there are people trying to pervert the Word of God today. Not just in Jude's time. Today. There's people who deny that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Have you not heard these things, church? Jesus is just a good teacher. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, but it's not really the truth. Have you not heard these things, church? Am I the only one in the church today that have heard these things in the world? Jesus Christ might be for you, but He's not really for me. I go about a different religion. Listen to me, I'll say it again. There is only one faith, there is only one truth, and there's only one Jesus Christ. There is only one Savior. See, they will deny Christ over and over and over again. And here, verse 5 through 10, I'm not going to read all of it because there's some interesting things. I encourage you to study this. It's all about the judgment that's going to fall upon these people. But here in verse 11 it says, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for the prophet of Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. Do you know what those mean? I had to look these up. What's being talked about here? Here it says, they have taken the way of Cain. They do not worship with their whole heart. You guys remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain didn't give a right sacrifice. And that was their act of worship. It wasn't up to par. He didn't give all of his heart in worship. And then you have Balaam here. He rushed for the prophet of Balaam's error. Balaam was a prophet. Remember the story of the talking donkey? Does that ring any bells, church? He went after money. This is what these false prophets do. They go after money. We not know any TV preachers who are all about getting your best life now. If you donate three things in 1995, you'll get a blessing. Come on, church. These seem obvious, but people, thousands and thousands of people fall for this. Thousands and thousands of people fall for these false teachers and false preachers. They pervert it. And Korah was this religious leader under Moses. And he wanted Moses' spot. He wanted the power. And so Korah got all these people again, and he's going to go against Moses. And God takes care of them. See, listen, Korah revolted against God's appointed leaders. This is what false teachers and preachers do every day. Have we not heard divisions in the church? Whispers. Did you see what this person did? Oh, do you really think he's fit to lead the people? Do you really? It's always these whispers, gossip, slander, so that they can work their position over and over and over again. This is what Jude is talking about here. Verse 12. These people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without a slightest qualm or slightest fear. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. What is Jude saying here? And I could sum it up with this. They are not useful for anything. This is all the things he's mentioned here. He says here, shepherds who only feed themselves. These people only care about themselves. They do not care about Jesus. They do not care about the church. They only shepherd themselves. They pretend to be shepherds of the flock, but they only care about themselves. He says here, the clouds without rain. Clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit, uprooted, twice dead. What's a tree if it doesn't bear any fruit? And then he says here, they are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. You ever remember during a storm and then you see the shore and it's all nasty and scummy? This is what Jude is talking about here. And then this is the most important. This one I think is crazy. Wandering stars. What's a wandering star? It's a shooting star. This is what he's talking about. For whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. What is a wandering star useful for? Nothing. What did they use stars for back then? Navigation, light. They used all these, but a shooting star, was it coming for a moment and then it's gone? It's useful for nothing. It's a little bit harder of a message, church. We should be watchful, careful. Beware. These are all the words that are used every time we're talking about false prophets and false teachers. And the word of God is beware. They only care about themselves. They give no real substance. We come here for substance, church. We come here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We come here to be filled with the word of God, to be taught to pray. But it says here, they give no real substance. Don't fall into their trap. They're no good for anything. Signs of a false teacher. What are these signs? What are some of the signs? I'm going to keep your finger on Jude here for a moment, but I want to turn to Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the things you have been taught. What's a sign of a false teacher? They are contrary to the word of God. This is why it is so important for you, church, to be reading the word of God every single day of your life. They are contrary to the teachings you have learned, the things in the word of God. If they're teaching something else, they're a false teacher. They're a false preacher. If there's a preacher telling you that you have to donate $19.95 to get a blessing, that is contrary to what the Word of God says. And if there's someone who says if you donate a certain amount of money, you'll get a healing, listen to me, that is contrary to what the Word of God says. We're not promised a blessing here. We're not promised a healing here. We are promised a healing in heaven. This is why we must serve Jesus with our whole heart. This is why we must love Jesus with our whole heart for what he's done for us, not for anything we could possibly do. Isn't that amazing, church? That there is nothing you could have done for salvation. There is nothing you can do for salvation, because I know I mess up. I fall short. I don't get it right. Thank God. Thank God in heaven that I have a way into heaven. Not by my own work. but by the faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. Signs of a false teacher, they're going to be smooth talkers. They're going to know how to use some words. They're going to seem really appealing. They might be hilarious in the pulpits. You might think the world of them. They're going to be smooth talkers, but not serving our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't serve Jesus. This is why we have to be watchful. This is why we have to be on the lookout. Go back to Jude here. Seems like all doom and gloom right now, right? Let's see what Jude here says in verse 17. But dear friends, remember what the apostles to our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. There are people who will divide you who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupted flesh. What's being said here? There is hope. Church, there is hope not only for yourselves to stay away from false teachers, but there is hope for all. All. If you have been led astray by a false teacher, listen to me. There is hope. If maybe you have said things you shouldn't have said and led others astray, listen to me. There's hope, and it's found in the Word of God. Remain in the truth, church. Don't leave it. Don't forsake it. Remain in the truth. It is the greatest thing that you could possibly cling to is the truth, the Word of God. We have to remember who God is. God establishes truth. No man. Men will come to you and say, I have a revelation. I have heard from God. And God still speaks to us. Don't get me wrong here, church. God still speaks to us, but His Word is set in stone. Nothing that God is going to tell you will be contrary to the Word of God. Nothing. That's important for you to know, because if it is contrary, it is not God who's speaking to you. It is the evil one. It is Satan trying to lead you astray. You have to remain in the truth. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them away from the fire. We got to be sharing the gospel, the truth, the gospel, the one and only truth, so that those who are led astray, those who have doubted, will be snatched from the fire. What a picture. Be snatched from the fire. To others show mercy, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. What's he? He's saying hate sin. Hate it, but never hate the sinner. That's important for you to know. Because if you hate the sinner, you are in the wrong. It's going to be hard for you to save the sinner or snatch them from the fire if you hate them. This is what we're called to do, church, to snatch them from the fire by sharing the truth, sharing the Word of God. Hate sin, but never the sinner. That is important. I hope you remember that very phrase right there. It might be easier to share the gospel a little bit more if you hate the sin and not the sinner. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. See what Jesus has to say about this. Because this is something false teachers like to do. Jesus didn't really say that. Jesus didn't really say that was a sin or this was a sin. See what Jesus has to say about these things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Ravenous wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. What's he saying here? They're not going to be easy to spot. They're not going to look like the wolf. They're not going to be so easy to spot. They're going to look like you. They're going to use kingdom language. They're going to say Jesus things, Christian things, believer things. They're going to say that to lure you in, to capture you, to trap you. Isn't that what wolves do? They get you on every side. I think that's what wolves do. I guess I don't really know. But they trap you. And they devour you. They destroy you. They steal from you. This is what wolves do. But listen to me. This is important for you to know. They will look like you. But their fruit won't be like yours. This is what he says here. He says, by their fruit you will recognize them. How do we be watchful? How can we be on the lookout? If they look just like us. If they are dressed in sheep's clothing, how can we do this? Look at the fruit of their life and their teaching. Even a false teacher can feed the hungry. Look at their teaching. Do they live a life of sin and condone it? Do they say that my sin's not as bad as somebody else's? Do they say things like, Jesus loves me, so I can do this? Jesus made me this way, so I can do this? Listen to me. This is what false teachers and preachers use. This is the language. Do they live a life of sin and condone it? Look at the fruit of their life. Know the truth that has been entrusted to you. Know what the Word of God says. Know what God says about you. Know what God says about sin. Know what Jesus did because of sin. Read your Word and study it. Meditate on it. Cling to it. God's given it to us, church. He didn't just give it to us to sit on our shelves. He didn't just give it to us to collect dust. Or just open on Sundays and Wednesdays. He gave it to you to open every single day so that you might be watchful. You might notice those who aren't in the faith. Those who want to divide you. Those who want wrong for the church. And we must be willing to test. We can't just let it slip in. See, the church has gone away of thinking that it's so nice and loving, and it should be those things. But it's lost its boldness. It's lost its confidence in the truth. The church back then was not a pushover church. They didn't mess with sin. They dealt with it. They snatched people from it. Into the faith. Listen to me, church. I heard a preacher once say, and I think this is so true. We've added 11th commandment, and it's to be nice, and we've forgotten about the rest of them. We got to be strong, church. This is why Jude says to contend or to wrestle for the faith. There's a lot of war imagery in the Bible. To pick up your shield, to pick up your sword, and go into battle with the devil. And I want to remind you, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Listen to me, our battle is not against these false teachers and false preachers. Our battle is not against those who condone sin. Our battle is not with them. It's our battle against the enemy, the devil, Satan, the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. That is where our battle lies. This is important for you to know because it's a lot easier to forgive. It's a lot easier not to hate when you know your battle is not against people. It's against the evil one. It's against Satan. We must be willing to call out false teachings. If someone is led astray, somebody says something wrong. Listen to me, this will be an easy one. If someone tells you Jesus isn't the Messiah, that's a false teaching. It's easy to call that one out. Well, yeah, he is. This is what he did. This is what the Word of God says. This is the biggest one. I want to give you a little example so you know what's coming. There'll be a lot of people that say Jesus has already come. There'll be a lot of people that say Jesus is coming tomorrow for sure. They got a date, they got a time. I've heard that in my time probably 60 times already. There's a new day, Jesus is coming. And there's people that are thinking they missed it, building structures so that they'll be ready for it. That's a scary place to be, living in fear. If you have Jesus, you have nothing to be afraid of. We are not to fear. Turn with me to Matthew 24. This is an amazing piece by Jesus here. What he says here. Verse 22. It says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But there, for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened at the time. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. What's he saying here? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to know when he's coming. If you can see, it says just as visible as the lightning is from the east to the west, so will the Son of Man. He's not going to be in some room by himself, secluded. You're going to know when Jesus comes. You ain't got to be worried about it. But the Bible does say, be ready for it. Be looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ comes. Why? Because we get to go home. That's why you should be looking forward to it. That's why you should be watchful for it. Because you get to go home. But be watchful, because listen to me, this is important. You must be watchful because people's lives are at stake. You know, people are going to hell because they have been led astray. Because someone said that Jesus isn't the only way. But some people say that you can go on sinning, but they never had Jesus in the first place. They never had the forgiveness of sins. It's a hard message, church. Listen to me closely. We must be watchful because people's lives are at stake. We have to be able to call out falsehoods. When somebody says something wrong in the church, go to them. Say, I don't think what you said was biblical. Show them in the Word of God. Show them where they are wrong. Don't condemn them. Don't slander them, but show them the truth. This is important, church, because there are so many people being led in so many directions. Have you not, with your friends or in school or in your workplace, heard so many ways to get to heaven? If I feed enough homeless, I can get there. If I donate enough money, I can get there. If I don't ever sin, if I keep the Ten Commandments, I can get there. You can't get there by any of that. You can only get there by the truth. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man, no woman is going to get to heaven, going to get to the Father, except through Jesus Christ. Don't be naive, church. don't think that there's nobody coming for this church. There's no wolves coming for this church. We've had people in this church try to divide. Many churches, probably every single church in this community has someone trying to divide. Someone trying to lead astray. Be watchful. And again, I will ask you this question. Are you reading your word? If you're not reading your word, you're susceptible to lies. You're susceptible to things that will lead you down the path that you never should have went. If you're not in your word, you don't know when you sin. You don't have good discernment. You don't have good wisdom, as I talked about last week. If you're not reading your word, you are susceptible to being led astray. You can't rely on Jimmy to feed you. You can't rely on me. You can't rely on Phil Fisher or Phil Jones. Or if you're a leader, you can't rely on your leaders here. You've got to do it yourself. But isn't it great that God's given everyone a word? Everyone the word of God so that they know what is right and what is wrong. But I want to remind you, God has revealed it to us. He's revealed us the truth. Are you being responsible? Are you saying things that people want to hear, but they're not the truth? Did you hear me, church? Are you saying things that people want to hear that are lies because you're afraid of what they might say about you? It's a hard thing to hear. Because I have found myself in a place where maybe sugarcoating things I shouldn't have. The word has no room for sugarcoating. The word has the room for truth. That's it. How do we show love? The truth. You can't love somebody if you don't show them the truth. It's super cliche and it's kind of silly, but if someone was going to jump, would you not try everything in your power to stop them? Of course you would. If you're a believer, of course you would. But are you being responsible with the truth that God has revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ? And I want to remind you, if you're a person here who doesn't have Jesus Christ, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are broken. You have to have Jesus Christ to enter into heaven, to have eternal life. You have to have Jesus Christ. Don't leave this place not having Jesus Christ. Let's stand.